Today we're believing we're gonna have more worship in a moment. Somebody like, where'd the worship go? It's coming. We're gonna worship today. We're calling this Sunday Miracle Moments. And as we were preparing as a team and as a staff, and me and Nancy were preparing for the year, I really felt to make some room in a few services during the year, make room in all our services, but a couple services dedicated to making room for miracle moments. And today, you would have gotten an email or seen online, but maybe you don't know today, but we're going to make some room for some prayer. And if you need a miracle, here's how you know you need a miracle. Your doctor cannot fix it. No money can solve it. Your friends can't come in and save the day. You need a miracle, but we believe that God is able. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. And I believe today is going to stir your faith. And if you don't have faith, we do. And sometimes you need to tire some people. Some good faith. We get some faith. And near the middle of our service, we're going to have prayer teams come forward and make a space available for you to be able to receive prayer today in what we're calling miracle moments. Now, if you joined us last week online only, we started a series called Keys. Keys, and we're talking about verses that we believe are key to your faith, key to your growing in your relationship, and trying to encourage us to grow our faith and learn some things. And as a church, we're leaning into learning more scripture. And I'll be honest, this old preacher, can I say that? This older preacher. I'm old depending on how old you are. To Ava Jane who did announcements, I'm old. To some of you in this room, I'm not so old. It's all about perspective. But to this older preacher, I'm committed to learning new scripture and memorizing it. Why? Because I'll learn new passwords for my phone. I'll learn new operating systems for my computer. I'll learn how to operate a new car. I'll learn a whole bunch of new things. I'll learn new songs. I'll even learn new TikTok moves. Come on, somebody. We need to learn some scripture, some things that will help our faith. And we encourage anybody, we challenged you last week. The first key was in First John. Anybody know that key? I'm not going to put you on the spot, but anybody memorize that key? Anybody? Good for you. We're going to say it together. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. And I hadn't memorized 1 John 1:7 till this morning. So if you're having a trouble with that, that's all. I'm sure 7 is fantastic. But 9 is what we memorize. Can I encourage you, lean in, church? Just don't go, that's just gimmicky. That's just a thing. No. If you put God's word in your heart when you don't need it, it'll be there when you do need it. When I'm in prayer, when I'm praying for others, praying for myself, I'm so thankful for his word, because his word cannot return empty or void or powerless. And I need some power in my life. Can someone say amen? So glad you've joined us for church today. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for those that have joined us online and in person. God, we're asking for a moment with you. God, we shake off religion. We shake off just routine. I'm thankful for routine. I'm thankful for the commitment to come even on with time change and all these things. I'm thankful for commitment and routine, but Father, we cast it off as our motivation. Our motivation is to meet with you. Holy Spirit, would you just come in a powerful way? There are miracles needed in this room. Would you interrupt our complaining or our need or our fear or our overwhelmingness? And would you come rush in and interrupt it with peace and joy and miracles today? Holy Spirit, we love you. We need you in this place. And everybody said, amen, amen. We've been praying all week. Our prayer rooms have been praying all week. Many of our leaders have been praying all week. I want to encourage you. God wants to do something today in this room. Never forget, we're talking this series called Keys. And I never forget the first time I handed my son the keys to the car for the first time. He was 4. No, I'm kidding, no. No, when he got his license at 16. And I couldn't help but have a flashback to the first time he was ever in a car of ours, is we were coming home from the hospital. And if you've had children, that was that moment where they put you on the elevator. I never forget that. And like the doors closed and I said goodbye to the nurses and doctors. And it was me and Nancy. And I felt like I was 12. I'm like, are we allowed to take this kid? And Nancy's like, you carry him. I've been carrying him for 9 months. I just remember the doors closing, and we had this little car seat. He was so little. He had a cone head because they had to use suction to get him out. I was like, that better go back. And like he'll never wear a ball cap ever. A stocking cap. He was like Phineas and Ferb, if you know who that is. And just, I was like, he was so little, born at 6 pounds, 3 ounces. And we're just in the elevator, and the doors closed. I'm like, I drove home so slow that day. I didn't go the highway. I went to Bedford. I went the side roads. Every car was a hostile projectile, and I was If you, some of you know what I'm talking, I'm not making this up. I drove, Nancy's like, we can speed up a little bit. She's in the back seat with Josh, and she's got bubble wrap around him, and she's like watching out, and I'm driving slow. And then from then on, I remember just putting me in car seats, rear-facing car seats. And then he'd get older, and it was the front-facing car seats. And then it was fishies in the back seat where you could eat fishy crackers. And then it was booster seats. And then it was front seat. And then I just all the stages. And I remember giving him the key to when he got his license and giving him his keys and the freedom that he had in the driving. Up to that point, he always got in a car with someone else determining the destination. Up to that point in his life, whenever he'd get in the car, it was like, where are we going? And he could say, I want to go this way or that way, but it's whoever was driving. And when you give someone keys to a car, you're giving them freedom. We gave Josh freedom to choose his own destination. Am I going to go to Randy's for pizza? Am I going to drive to my buddy's house? Am I going to drive around Sackville, which is the Sackville tradition to do? Am I going to go to work? Am I going to go to Nana's? He could choose his own destination. Keys give you access to new possibilities. When we gave him the keys to our car, it gave him new possibilities. Let me just encourage you, parents in the room, of all the keys you give your kids to your house, to your car, all the keys you give them kingdom keys. Give them new possibilities and new direction. Today, as you leave, there are one of these keys we've ordered for everybody. Just something as a token, as a keepsake on this series. I have mine attached to my key ring, and I think about it. I have it in my pocket, and I think about the scripture that God is laying on our heart as a church to learn. There's one for everybody you can take on the way out. Maybe you want to put a ribbon on it, turn it into a bookmark. Maybe you want to just put it on your end table because it's stylish. Maybe you want to add it to your keychain. That reminds you that God has keys for us, that gives us new levels to fight new devils and for new destinations, and God wants to give us access. Also today, when we pray for you, if you come forward for prayer, we have keys up here, and the prayer team, when they pray for you, are going to give you a key, just as a point of contact, just going, hey, let's believe together and believe for keys of access for God to do the impossible. Can someone say amen? Today is miracle moments. It's a chance to receive prayer today, and I want to encourage you to push through whatever you're dealing with today, and believe that if you need a miracle today, or someone you know need a miracle in your life, we're going to pray. We're not going to counsel today. We're not going to give you advice. We're not here to hear everything. We are here to pray. And you're going to pray specifically, going, I need a miracle for this, or this family member needs a miracle for this, and we're going to pray. And some of you, it might be you need a healing, maybe a shoulder's not working, an elbow's not working, and we're going to say, hey, man, just we're going to pray for you, and you're going to try to see if what God wants to do. And God's going to heal some people today. God's going to heal relationships today. We're going to see some miracles today. Today's key, we're going to get to in a minute, but today's key we're learning this week is James 5:17. And as always, this week it'll go out on social media by an email so you can download it. I have a screensaver on my phone so that I keep it all the time. And it's before my eyes, so I walk around. I have my key when I'm looking at my phone. Anybody look at their phone more than once a day? Just me? Okay, awesome. And I'm like, no, I'm going to use this phone to help me get new keys to learning heavenly things. Amen. Today's key is James 5:17. You know, one thing I've realized, and it's supposed to be happening again today, is that windstorms are increasing in our area. Now, I had a conversation with an older gentleman this last week, and I say older gentleman, he was my age, and he was fixing my roof because of the storm we had a couple weeks ago and blew my shingles off, and I just can't keep shingles on for nothing. And so this guy, Norm's a good newfie, Norm comes by and fixes my roof, seems like once a month. I was like, Norm, it wasn't always like this, was it? Like, I feel like he was buddy. He goes, we used to get snow so high, you used to be able to hold on to the telephone lines. He said, in Newfoundland, they used to tell the kids, announcements, don't touch the phone lines. That's how high this, I'm like, we don't get that anymore. He goes, we don't get that anymore. I'm like, these winds, like I grew up here. And we're used to getting hurricanes or after hurricanes. Like if some of you have moved here in the last couple of years, you're like, there's a lot of storms. It wasn't always like this. I don't remember losing power so much as a kid. Maybe I have fond memories. I look at it differently, but I don't remember it being like this. Storms are increasing and causing us to lose power more and more. And we live in houses, most of us live in houses that are wired for power. And you realize that when the power goes out. Man, it's amazing how I take it for granted and just have it. Am I the only one that when the power's out, walks into a dark room and flicks a light switch? And then I go, the power's out, right? Just because of habit. Our houses are wired for power. We enjoy the benefits of power. Man, I don't like camping. Like, I like camping. What I call camping is called the Holiday Inn. That's what I call camping, right? Like, I like Wi-Fi. I'm so thankful our houses are wired for power. They have Wi-Fi. I enjoy Wi-Fi. Who enjoys Wi-Fi? Just me. Okay. I love a stove that heats up food. I love that our house is wired for power, that there's TVs work and the heat works, whether it be base heat or electric heat or water heat or an air exchanger or a heat pump or whatever you got. I love that it's wired for power for heat on cold days. I love the lights. I love that I don't need to worry about candles and kerosene lamps, that we have lights. And in the middle of dark rooms, we have lights all the time. And it's going to be lighter tonight. Sun's not going down until later tonight. Thank you, Jesus. We made it. We made it, church. We made it. And it hurts in the morning, but hang on. Joy comes in the evening. Joy comes in the evening. Come on, somebody. We made it. If you're not watching from here, you have no idea what we go through. We've gone through the darkest of days, but the light has come. Oh, I'm excited. It's the best day ever. Morning's a little rough, but the night is fantastic. We enjoy the benefits of power. Our houses are wired for power. But for that power to work, there needs to be a point of contact. There needs to be a point of activation for that appliance to work, that Wi-Fi to work, that coffee maker to work, that TV to work. There needs to be a point of contact, a place of activation. There needs to be a switch or there needs to be a plug. Our houses are wired for power. It's hardwired in. It's available. But to activate it, we've got to find the switch and we've got to use the plug. There's been times I've had things I thought was plugged in that wasn't plugged in. Anybody else try to make coffee? You hit the button. You got it all ready to go. You hit it, walk away. You come back 15 minutes later and like, what's wrong? And you go to worst case. It's broken. Something happened. And I realized, no, I unplugged it because I wanted to plug in a phone charger. Listen, there is power wired to our houses, but it needs a place of contact, a place of activation. The switch needs to be switched and flipped, and the plug needs to be plugged into. There must be a place of contact, a point of activation between us and God in our spiritual life. You make no mistake that we need to experience God's power, his supernatural provision. He has made power available. He has wired us. He has set up that power. We just sang about it. It's one thing to sing at church. It's another thing to actually walk through it, that he is more than able. Anything is possible. It's a catchy song, but it's a better truth. Anything is possible. And we refuse to be faith that has a form of godliness, but denying the power. The Bible says many turn away from that. The reason why people walk away is sometimes they walk in going, we talk about power. We post about power. We sing about power. I don't know if there's any power. I want to encourage you that we have been wired. God has wired. God has made power available. It's interesting, at our home, if you don't turn on the light switch, it's not a power problem. It's an activation problem. If you don't plug in the coffee maker, it's not a power problem. It's an activation problem. If you don't turn on the Wi-Fi, it's not a power problem. It's an activation problem. You need to know in our faith that God has made power available. It says the Holy Spirit came with power, with signs following. Listen, if we're not seeing God move, I'm realizing it's not a power problem. It could be an activation problem. The point of activation between God's power and your need, and if you're here today, you probably have a need. In our job, in our life, and I realize it's not just pastoring, we have calls and texts and meetings, and you do the same thing, of someone who's in need. I was talking to one of our brilliant team today, talking about someone at work, said, man, they're going through this at work, and they're going through this at work. It seems like one thing after another. I realize that there is places of great need in this room. Some of you, I know your story, what you're battling with your health or your finances or your relationships. I know in my own life what I need miracles in. I want to remind you today that the point of activation between God's power and your need is prayer. If a coffee maker doesn't work, it's not a power problem, it's an activation problem. I want to remind you today that God has power available and our need is real, and the switch, the activation, is prayer. Prayer is the switch God has designed to activate his power in our situation. Prayer is more than just how you close a meal or how before you get on the road to protect you as you drive. It's more than just a routine. It's a conversation. It's an activation of God's power for his provision into your situation. That is the power of prayer. Prayer doesn't make God do what he hasn't planned to do. God releases God to do what he wants to do. That's why we pray, your will be done. God has a will, but when we pray, it activates it. I'm not going to read it today, but the Bible says you have not because you
ask not. It says, if you want to find, you seek. If you want it open, you knock. If you want to be fed, you must hunger. There's an activation to the provision for our situation, and that is prayer. And that's why these prayer rooms are not just cute little times we get together. That's why when we pray today, we're going to make a place of contact. It's not just a cool thing to do in a service. We believe it's not a power problem. The activation comes from a prayer. And when we flip that switch of prayer, I believe there's an activation of his provision into our situation. Brings me to this story today in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, we have a story here in verse 5 about a Roman officer. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him. Lord, my young servant lies in bed and is paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and I will heal him. But the officer stopped him. That was the answer most wanted. I'll change my schedule. I'll come to you. And the officer stops and says, Lord, I'm not worthy of you to come into my house. Just say the word. I got an old school Bible you can underline. I have that underline, highlight it, and start. Just say the word. Oh, I felt there was some attitude and authority in that. No. Just say the word. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over those soldiers, over my soldiers. I only need to say to them, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do this. Verse 10, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Jump down to verse 13. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home, because you have believed. It has happened. The young servant was healed that same hour. Breaking this down today in light of what I believe God's speaking to us. It's interesting, this man comes to Jesus with fervor. It says he was pleading with Jesus. Pleading is not polite. Pleading is not casual. It's not a, hey, if you get a chance. And when they say no big deal, they say they can't. Y'all send those texts, it's fine. Nope, no worries. No worries means I really wanted you to do that. I was really hoping. I'm really bothered, but I just feel like, fine, forget it. I'll do it myself. No worries. This man came pleading. There was a fervor there. There was a determination. There was an earnest, intense conviction. Pleading, going, I have this person in my life that needs to be healed. There's a fervor there. The second thing I notice about this passage is that it's a two-part prayer. You're like, where did the man pray? It's interesting. In verse 6, he asks Jesus to do a miracle. You're like, where did he pray? What is prayer? Prayer is a conversation with God. It's when you're both asking, talking, and listening to God. That is prayer. Sometimes we have to deconstruct some of the religious rhetoric we have, and we think prayer is this. Prayer is simply a conversation. Asking God and hearing from God. This man, who is he talking to? Jesus. Jesus is God. This man was talking to God. This man was praying. He didn't even know it. Right. He's having a conversation with God. He is both talking and listening. That is prayer. We see here in verse 6, he starts the prayer off with asking, which means he acknowledges the power of God. It's interesting. He didn't go to a physician. He didn't go to a morgue and say, get ready, this one's going to die. He didn't go to a lawyer to get last right, to get figure out their will. He went to Jesus because he says, I know you have power. He acknowledges prayer. He acknowledges the power. Then in verse 8, he says, just say the word, which is both faith and a point of activation. Just say the word. And at that moment, his faith was activated and the provision from heaven came into his situation and started changing things. And then in verse 13, we see the release of the provision when he says they're healed this very hour. What this Roman soldier, officer, whether he knew it or not, was applying the truth from Scripture. He was actually praying Scripture when he said, just say the word. He was applying, actually, Isaiah 55, verse 11. He was going back to the old Scriptures. Look what this man was actually implementing in this verse. In Isaiah 55, 11, he says, it is the same with my word. Please don't miss this. It is the same with my word. I will send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish what I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. This man, whether he knew it or not, being a Roman officer, would not have known Scripture. He said, just say the word. And right then, heaven realized he just flipped the switch. He just activated the power that was possible. The provision that was available was now activated into his situation. Because we go back to Isaiah, and it says the same with my word, God says. It cannot be spoken. It cannot go out without it always producing fruit. And the second he said, no, just say the word, heaven stood up and said, we will activate the power that's already provided. And Jesus said, it's already done. There's power in the word of God. Let me say it this way. The officer's prayer was tied to God's word. See, if you don't know God's word, you won't know how to pray. Because God's word must be the foundation of our prayers. It is the key to our request. That's why some of us pray such timid prayers. Because we don't know the word that needs to be tied to. We pray prayers like, God, just help me. God, if you're willing. That's always, Lord, if it's your will. Listen, you can know God's will based on his word. And we pray these prayers with no faith, and they're very timid, going, God, if you have a minute, can you spare a coin? Can you spare a shilling? Could you possibly do something? And we're timid, and we're just like, God, just do something. And we have these prayers that have no faith in them. They're just like, just help me, God. And we get distraught and weak, and we don't apply with boldness what the scripture teaches us, that the prayers of a righteous man and woman avail much. And the reason why we don't pray bold is we don't know his word. This officer's prayer, whether he knew or not, was tied to God's word. Just say the word. That's why these keys that we're learning are so important. Because if you don't know God's word, you can't pray God's will. And God's will is where the answer to provision for our prayers. When you know God's word, it becomes a key to your prayers. It's more just, oh, I love this person. Let me pray for this person. God, I love them, so you must love them. And you try to stir up some faith. No. There's an activation. There's a switch. And prayer is the activation, but his word is the wires which it runs through. It travels through his word. We don't have a point of activation we can hang on to called scripture. It becomes the foundation of our request, scripture. You don't even know if your request is something God is interested in doing if you don't know his word. The Roman officer builds his request off of the foundation of God's word. Verse 8, just say the word. And Jesus knew that if he said it, it would have to happen. Why? Because his word cannot return empty or void. So when he said, return home this hour, they're healed. Jesus said, it's done. And that officer knew, it's done. Why? Just say the word. Church, this is more than just something we're doing in church. This is more than just a series. There is a power in the word of God. And when we join it to the prayer of activation, something happens. The provision that's made available is activated into our situation, and we can see miracles happen. God's word in your heart becomes the base of our prayers, and it activates God's power to become our provision. Which brings me to today's key. James 5:16. James 5:16, we're going to memorize this week. Some of you are going to memorize it. Some of you are starting to realize, you know what? What I need for my teenager, or I need for my wife, what we need in our marriage, what I need in my singleness, what I need for my direction, what I need for my body, what I need for my finances. I just don't need a cool quote. I don't need another Instagram story. I need something to activate the very power of God in my life. And we activate it with prayer, but it's tied to his word. Look at this. Confess your sins to each other. Confession is not an event. It's a lifestyle. It's not punishment going, I failed. It's no. It draws us close. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Isn't it interesting? Confession is tied to our healing. Watch this. The earnest prayers. This man came earnestly pleading. It's not just casual going, hey, by the way, if you can spare some extra power, if you can just get around to it, there's a determination. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. That word in your heart activates a faith level and activates God's power in a way you don't even know is possible. That's why I tell you, when we pray for people, we're going, God, we're going to confess our sins in a moment over communion by yourself. We're going to say, God, just forgive me for my sin. And then we're going to start to pray. And the earnest prayers, we're going to pray. They're going to be short prayers, but they're going to be earnest prayers. We're not counseling you. We're not patting you on the back going, oh, I'm sorry about that. No. We believe that there is wired through eternity the power of heaven It travels on his word, and it's activated by our prayers. We're going to lay hands on believing today for miracles in your relationships, in your body, in your life. It has great power to produce wonderful results. This Roman officer, earnest prayer, we saw that in verse 5, of a righteous person. What did he say? He said, Lord, if you would just say it, which speaks about that he knew Jesus was the authority, that he wanted to follow Jesus. He understood who he was. It says it has great power, producing wonderful results. This young servant was healed the same hour. Make no mistake, church, we activate his power through prayer built on his word. And God said, according to this verse, if we confess our sins today, if we're earnest and determined in our prayers, if I'm righteous, which means I'm following Jesus, I'm not perfect, but his blood cleanses me of all my sins, cleanses me of all my wickedness and my unrighteousness, as we learned last week in 1 John 1:9. If I'm following him, if I'm righteous, it says that there's great power to produce wonderful results. Today, you just didn't come to church. You came to an activation station. Today, we believe there's faith in this room. Here's what we're going to do for the next few minutes. We're gonna worship for a bit. You're going to prepare your hearts. You've all should have been given communion. If you didn't get communion when you walked in, you want to take communion. The ushers are going to hand them out even right now. If you don't, you just raise your hand if you didn't get one of these. Up front, we have some ushers. If you can help me, thank you. If you want communion, just keep waving. Don't mind waving. Keep waving until you get one. We've got a couple up front, Jake, right up here. Here's what we're going to do over the next few minutes. We're going to worship. We're going to sing a couple songs. And what we're doing is we're focusing in. We're going to start focusing our prayer. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start. You're going to take communion by yourself today. Over the next 10 minutes. Over the next 10 minutes. As we worship, I want you to do business with God. It says this in Corinthians. When we talk about communion. It says this. It says, so anyone in 1 Corinthians 11, 27. It says, if anyone eats his bread or drinks his cup, an unworthy is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread and drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why you are weak and sick, and some have even died. That's not a place of fear. It's talking about the power of understanding what God has done in our life. Over these next few minutes, here's what I want you to do. We're going to stand in a moment. And when you're ready, over the next 10 minutes or so, during worship, I'm not going to instruct you. When you're ready, you're going to take the bread. But before you do that, you're going to say, God, would you search my heart? Would you examine me? It says, examine yourself. I don't need to examine you. Your small group leader doesn't need to examine you. Examine yourself. Say, God, would you search my heart? And he'll point something out that is blocking you and him. And you'll know it's God because you won't feel shame and you won't feel down. You'll feel hope. He'll rush and go, let me take that and forgive you and raise you higher. You say, okay, God, I confess that attitude. I confess that complaining. I confess that habit. I confess that lust or that greed or that anger or that doubt or that whatever it is. Just confess it and say, God, forgive me. And it says that he will cleanse us last week of all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is able and just to forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as we do that, when you're ready, then take the bread and go, God, thank you that you were broken so I don't have to be. And then you'll take the juice and go, I'm thankful that we're in relationship. This is not, you're not just my judge. You're not, this is not a contract. This is not a set of rules. We're in relationship. And like that Roman officer, I can approach you and have a conversation going, God, this is my need. And I know you have power. All over this place, can we stand to our feet today? We're going to worship. Over the next 10 minutes, when you're ready, I want you to confess to yourself, just pray as we worship. And when you're ready, when you feel like your heart is clean and you've cast it all on the Lord, take the bread, then take the juice. And then I'm going to call in a little while people to come and pray. I want to challenge you, if you have a need today, the place of contact, power is available, but the switch of activation is prayer on God's word. And God's word says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power. Anybody need some great power in their life today? I know I do. Anybody need a miracle in their life today? For your kids, your body, your life, the kids you want to have, the kids you do have, the marriage you have, the marriage you want, your purity, your job, your body, your health. I need miracles today. And I believe there's an activation that comes when we pray according to his word, because it cannot
return void or empty. Today, would you examine yourself as we pray, as we worship today? Would you examine yourself? And when you're ready, on your own, I believe for a holy moment of communion. Father, bless us right now. Holy Spirit, would you fill this room? Thank you for your convicting, holy, raise us up power. Thank you, God, that you are not judging us, you're helping us. God, I pray for clean hands and a pure heart all over this room. God, we examine ourselves. Come and meet with us in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Holy. Church, would you just right now in this moment just lift your hands, stir up your expectancy. He's here, church. He wants to move. He wants to move in your life. He wants to move in your heart. He wants to do great things in this room today. Come on, would you cry out to the Waymaker? Would you cry out in your own prayer, in your own words? Would you get desperate before the King of Kings, the King of Glory, the one who took hell and the grave by storm, the one who was raised on the third day? The same power that raised Christ is in this room right now. Come on, would you call out to him? Would you cry out to him? Come on. Here You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Come on, sing that again. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Come on, sing it out.
few weeks ago on a Sunday morning, I had a young lady come up with her mother for prayer. Beautiful young lady, a young adult, glowing with the very presence of God. Just the smile and the peace on her, named Mwape. I'm not sure if she's even here today. She came up, her mother was visiting from out of town, and she came up, she said, "I need prayer, Pastor Mike." I'm like, "Okay, what do you need prayer for?" She said, "There's a tumor on my neck, and I'm going in Thursday for surgery." I was like, is the tumor cancerous? Is it benign or malignant? She goes, "No, it's cancer. It's in my neck." And right away, my mind went to, that's a very dangerous region for a cancerous tumor. But she had this peace, and I forget the exact words, but she had great faith. She goes, "No, God is able." And there was faith. Sometimes we're supposed to have the faith, but she brought the faith. And I was like, okay. Oh, there's something possible, and you want to activate it right now in prayer. This is one of those prayer times where I just hung on to her faith. Sometimes that's what happens up here, so you know. We started to pray. We started praying. Our prayer team, we have a prayer team that prays all week, and we send them requests, and they're faithful, and we pray. In our prayer rooms, we started to pray. Her family was praying. This week, I get a text from her mother. "Good afternoon, Pastor. I have great news today. We prayed for her on her day of her surgery. We sent her great food because great food helps great prayers. We just believed. She'll have great news today. When I was meeting with the doctor said in his words, and I quote, 'I'm very happy with the way everything is. All the cancerous tissue has been taken out, and there's no need for any further treatments.'" This is what we were praying for. The cancerous tumor. Yes, praise God. The cancerous tumor was locked and contained in one place. There was no spreading. It's all out. She says, "Praise the Lord. All she has to do now is a 6-month checkup. But he has no concern. God is good. God is, I'm grateful, and we're thankful, and we're blessed." If I can have the prayer team come forward, those that are going to join us in prayer and spread along the front. We're just going to have a place of activation. It's not a power problem. It's an activation problem. And you might have faith, or maybe you need our faith. We're going to have faith together. We're spread it up here. They have their badges on. Prayer team have their badges on. We have some keys up here we're going to hand to you. If you don't come for prayer, there's keys on the way up. We want you to take one. But I believe there's a moment here of activation. And our prayers are tied to his word. Let me give you some of his word that we're tying our prayers to today. Our prayers are activated and they travel on his word. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives your iniquity and who heals all your diseases." Come on, I tie my faith to that word today. I tie my prayer to that word. Heals all our diseases. Matthew 19, 26. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Going through something impossible today? It's not impossible with God. We can sing about it, but oh, I believe it. He's a way maker. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. Psalm 147, verse 3. "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." You're like, "My body's fine, preacher, but my heart is sick. My heart is broken. That person hurt me. They disappointed me. They walked out on me. They abused me. They disappointed me. My heart is broken today over grieving." So you've been grieving for so long, you forget what it's like to be healthy in your heart. He says, his word, just say the word, Jesus, just say the word. His word says, he heals the brokenhearted, binds up their wounds. Oh, the activation for the provision is prayer, and it's tied to his word. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through him gives me strength." Some of you are going, "I can't keep going. I can't do this. I can't solve this. I can't." No, there's a strength available. Some of you, you're beat down. You're tired. You're like, "Man, this how I'm feeling will make a great December because I'm done with this year." Darling, it's March. We got more year. I'm encouraging you. There's strength available today. And we tie it to his word. There is faith in this room. Church, we're going to worship the next little while. But if you want prayer, these people, they're not perfect. But they have understood that today they want to activate. They're not going to counsel. They're not going to give you tips. They're not going to give you action steps. They're going to pray. They're going to believe today. His provision, his power is provided. It's not a power problem. It's an activation problem. Today we're going to activate. We have not because we ask not. The Bible says the earnest prayers of a righteous person produces great power with marvelous results. Today we're going to walk out here with some marvelous results in this place. Let's see what God wants to do. Activate your faith. We worship. The altars are going to be open. It might be crowded. Take your time. Get up here. Let's pray. Let's believe. Lay hands on prayer team. Let's believe. Take a key of faith and let's see what God wants to do. Amen. God, we thank you for your spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you are good. And your word does not return void. And we say it today, Lord, like the Roman officer. Just say the word. Just say the word. God, we ask for wonderful results and power in Jesus' name. Come on, church, let's worship. The altars are open. Let's pray and believe today. Let's activate the very power of God that's in this room.
So shake.
You're all we want. You're all we want. Oh, this is our prayer, Lord. Come and do it. room. Heal bodies in this room. Come in, have your way. Have your way. 'Cause we need you. We need you. We want you. We want you. We can't. We can't do this without you. 'Cause we want you. We want you. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Come rest on us. Come on, let's sing it one more time. In fire and wind,
come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on it. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on it. Come rest on us.
Jesus' name.
Come rest on us.
Jesus, we're going to keep praying. We're just going to keep praying. I want to pray for two things real quick, and then one of our leadership team is going to come and join me on the stage in a minute. They know who they are. We're going to pray over a specific request. First of all, I want to pray for teenagers in this room. And those that aren't in this room. Some of you parents, you're like, I just, it's not catching with my kids. Maybe they're not here. Maybe they've never been here. It's not catching with my kids. I love it. I was with someone this week. And they said, oh, I'm so thankful. I don't rely on the youth group to raise my kids in the house of God. It's up to us to raise my kids in the house of God. But I believe there's some parents here, there's fear in your life about your teenagers. I want to pray for them. I want to pray that God would capture their heart. Anybody having faith in the room for this? I believe legacy is more than a building. Legacy is not something you build, it's someone you raise. We need to pray for our teenagers in this room. We have some brilliant teenagers in this room that love God. But some of you are like, my kids aren't here. Well, my kids are struggling. Let's pray. Can we agree? Some of you with your grandkids, your teenagers. Oh, I believe there's a power and anointing over youth. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you're a God of generations, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God, you're a generational God, and you love generations. I pray for right now, those that have concerns and fear about their kids, they feel like they're into things, they're struggling with identity or addictions or apathy. There seems to be a disconnect. God, we agree together that you would capture their heart. We pray they would have an experience, not with a service, not with religion, but with the living God. Would you capture their heart? God, would you make a way where there seems to be no way? Cut through the noise. And we pray right now for the teenagers represented in this room. We pray for a miracle in their lives. I pray those that are struggling, even with depression, and the parents feel helpless. I pray you would make a way. God, I pray right now, body, soul, and spirit, that they'd be healthy in body and in soul and in spirit. I pray physical health. I pray for mental health. And I pray for spiritual health. Jesus, would you do a work in our young people? I pray for a miracle. Father, we cast our cares on you, and the righteous prayers of parents avail much. Returns with great power and marvelous results. We pray for our teenagers. Father, I want to pray right now for those struggling with cancer in this room. Cancer must bow its knee to Jesus Christ. Just say the word. Just say the word. You said you heal all our diseases, all of them. There's no disease that outranks what you can do. Cancer is not greater than the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, I thank you for the faith in this room. Just say the word. I speak to cancer to be gone in Jesus' name. Known and unknown in this room, I speak cancer to be gone in Jesus' name. I pray the fear of cancer to be gone in this room. Some, that the fear. You say, I haven't been diagnosed, but I wake up every day. I feel terminal. I feel fear. Fear be gone in Jesus' name. I pray from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, every muscle, every ligament, every blood vessel, every organ, I speak healing in Jesus' name. We speak life, life over you. The Bible says life and life more abundantly, not just getting through, not just getting by. I pray for strength. I pray for healing and I pray for deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out, Anthony. I've asked one of our leadership team, one of our board members to pray. We need a miracle as a church for a building. We're going to be announcing next week. We had to move out of this building for 8 weeks. We're going to another location. You'll get an email on Wednesday with some details on that. Dream team, you'll get it today, an email. And God solved it for 8 weeks, starting April, first weekend of April and on. But we need a building as a church. And we need a miracle. We're faithful. You're faithful. We're giving. We're saving. We're trying. We're doing our part. We're faithful. But we need a miracle. We want to pray for a building. Something happens when two or more gather together. There's an anointing and power when we gather. We're called to gather. Do not forsake gathering together. I love online. Online, we love you. But there is something when you gather in a room, when you can hear the praise and feel the prayers and rub shoulders. God wants to do something, and we need a building to do it in. Where kids can run around. Teenagers can hang out. Where we can have worship and prayer and preach the word of God. People can get saved, discipled, healed. Prayer times, we're not worried about the clock of getting out. We need a building. So let's pray. Just say the word. I got a bunch of righteous people here. Could we follow Jesus? And the prayers of a righteous people produces great power with marvelous results. Can we pray today? Let's pray.
Even before I go, Pastor Mike always gets me to come up on stage, probably because he knows I'll cry, but he also knows that I hate being the center of attention. But in humility, I'll do it. It's not about me. And even through this service, I'm praying. I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? Worried. How's this going to sound? How's this going to come across? And the Holy Spirit just caught me and said, you get to pray. Everyone in this room gets to pray. So just step into that. We're so blessed by how many people got to come down here for prayer, but there's so many more. You get to pray. So Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have a vision for legacy, a building. God, we're so thankful that you are Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. We're thankful that you are more than able. We're thankful, God, that you are the way maker. You make a way. And by faith, we believe that there's favor over our plan. We believe a building will benefit the community. And it will bring glory and honor to your name. So right now, God, we just take authority and we declare the right people with the right resources will come alongside us at the right time. And we're asking for that right time to be now, Lord. But in the meantime, we will diligently pray. We will give. We will support the plan. And God, and we will wait for your goodness. But right now, Lord, we just stir up faith to believe that something great is just on the horizon, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Come on, can we sing this together? As one voice, as one prayer. Altars are still open if you need prayer, but can we sing this together in faith? Come on, Pastor Matt.
And on the redeemed,
come on, church.
Prophesy and sing.
God's on the move. miracles in Jesus' name. Church, we've gone a little longer. Don't apologize. We're just stating the obvious. Next steps is happening in 30 seconds. Step one, coffee is flowing and free. Pick up your kids. Take them at his word, but also take your kids. We love you. God bless you. We're believing with you. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless.